Well, I can't wait to hear myself speak after all of that. It's good to see you. Sometimes when I particularly, years ago, remember when the pastors used to all sit up on the stage? Does anyone remember that? And so we got to see the audience before we got up to speak and kind of knew who we were going to pick on. But we don't get that opportunity now anymore. So sometimes I just like to take a look at who's here, not to pick on anybody, though I have got some names in my notes. No, yours is all through, mate. Yeah, it's just good to see you all. Bless you. It's good to have you here. Whoever you are and wherever you're from, it's lovely to see you. And thanks for those kind words, James. Nobody has ever said such nice things about me in my life. Appreciate it. I titled my sermon for today, Did I Hear You Properly? Have you ever said that to anyone? Did I hear you properly? Or have you walked away and thought, did I really hear that properly? Well, I want to talk about that today. I'll say right up front, my message is possibly basic and it's going to be reasonably practical. If you feel like, well, I've heard all of that before, good on you. That's great. But don't dismiss it. I've been known to occasionally drop pearls. So you'd be sad if today was the day that I said something amazing and you weren't listening. But at the same time, if you feel you know what I'm talking about, then just don't close your eyes because I'll think you're asleep and then I pick on you. But please feel free to pray for others in the room that you know or don't know that are not aware of what I might be talking about. So let's dig in, will we? I want to take you to a passage of scripture. My dad used to quote these verses all the time for some unknown reason, but they are beautiful verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, are they going to be on the screen? Yes, I did. It's okay. I'll read it to you. Hebrews 1 verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. I want to hang about the part where God spoke to his people in various ways, and now in these days he has spoken. I want to just hang around there today. I want to talk about probably one of the most misunderstood concepts of Christianity, and that is hearing the voice of God. Now, I've heard lots of people talk about this, and some have thrilled me, and some have made me feel really spooked out. But it's not a spooky topic. Hearing the voice of God, I had one guy say to me once when I was talking to him about the future of his family, oh, I don't believe in hearing voices. Well, I'm sorry, but you just missed out on a whole lot of what God wants to do in your life if you don't hear voices. Please, probably it's best we don't hear voices, but at least one, the voice of God. So, the Old Testament actually records hundreds and hundreds of occasions when God spoke to his people in some way. But it was mostly through chosen people called prophets. So he did speak otherwise, but mostly it was these people that we call prophets. You've got Samuel and Hezekiah and Moses and many others that God spoke through and in very distinct ways so that his people would hear what he had to say. He did use other methods though. For example, he obviously addressed Adam, Abraham, Hagar, Moses, all people in the Old Testament who actually says God spoke to them. There was nobody else speaking. God actually spoke, and in some cases it was almost like, well, you get the feeling in Scripture that they saw God, which we know parts of Scripture say that you can't see God without you drop dead, but it seems to say that they actually saw him, and of course we know that Adam did have a good relationship with God until that fateful day. He gave Joseph and Daniel dreams. Dreams of the future, their future, or the future of the nation, or whatever, and others like that. He gave them dreams. In fact, God speaks to people in dreams. You know, my former boss, Pastor Andrew Evans, who some of you would have remember, he spent a lot of his time in Papua New Guinea, and at those times, the people weren't educated as we would understand education. They had their own form of education, but as we would understand it, so they couldn't read or write. And they didn't have written language in many cases. It was missionaries and so on that gave them that. But God would come to them in the middle of the night in dreams and speak to them. And Andrew used to say to me quite often, God will find a way to speak to you even if you don't understand the other languages he uses. He'll find a way to speak to you. because God wants to speak. One time he even wrote on the wall. These days we use projectors to do it, but back in God's day, he actually wrote on the wall something about tickling the parson. It's not what it really was. It was something similar in sound to that. But it was talking to the king of the day, and he had to get Daniel in to interpret what God had said because he didn't understand the language that was written on the wall. But nevertheless, they saw the finger of God writing on the wall. Now, when Jesus came into the earth back nearly just over 2,000 years ago, probably now, or around that time, when he came into the earth, everything changed. Everything across the relationship with God changed in one way or another. But we still have a relationship very similar to that. So, for example, in the Old Testament, God seems to be a really nasty God. He seems to be a God that's just out to get everybody. In fact, if you read the Old Testament properly, that's not true. He was more a jilted lover than an angry God. But he still spoke to people there, and he still speaks today, but he may do it in different ways. And so I want to talk about that for a little while. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, all in one, they may speak to you through different channels. They may speak to you through some of the ways we've talked or through other ways, but whichever way it is, God wants to speak to you directly, whether it be he to you or through a channel of some kind. He wants it to be seen as God's word to you. He wants you to hear him. You see, the Bible tells us that God wants you to have a great life, and he's the only one that really knows where your life's going. Somebody in here said today, I think it might have been you, Wendy, something about God has already written a book about us. Rachel, sorry. Who's Wendy? I met a Wendy today. Oh, you're Wendy. Forgive me. I gave your name away. Have it back, okay? She doesn't want it. She's Rachel. Rachel said that God's right. Imagine writing somebody's biography before they're even born. Well, that's what God did. And so he now wants you to walk in that life. Most of us come to crossroads or various points in life, and or maybe we just haven't caught up with the program yet, or we don't understand God speaking and all of that. And so we tend to be walking down another road, and God doesn't want to have to rip pages out of the book. Books don't sell much when they get pages written out. He wants you to walk according to the biography. Now, it's not you have to do it, but you're smart if you do. Now, I can't, like, down the back, I've got 100 biographies, and I'm sure yours is one of them. Please feel free to go and buy it. I can't do that for you today, but God knows the plan, the direction, the story of your life. And he planned it out a long time ago. In fact, he made you to suit the plan. One of the reasons we aren't overly happy sometimes in life is because we're living a life that isn't the plan. And we weren't designed for that life. And that can be in the case of people who have gone off the tracks and are living a life that is contrary to God's will or dangerous for them or whatever. But it can also be the case for some of us who get big-headed about who we are and think, I'm going to be Billy Graham, and if I can't be Billy Graham, probably some of you don't even know who that is, one of the world's greatest ever preachers. If I can't be Billy Graham, I'm not going to be anything, you know. Well, that's probably what will end up, you know, because God's got a plan. And you know, I've met people who are not walking in the plan and they're unhappy. Not because God said, you're not walking in the plan, I'll make you unhappy, but because we're designed for a certain thing. And if we're not fulfilling that design, then we're not walking in the plan, and therefore we just don't find happiness and joy. You know, Saul of Tarsus saw Jesus and heard his voice. One of the unique cases in the Christian church, we say he was riding a horse. The Bible doesn't state that. But I'm not against the fact that he was riding a horse. But whatever happened, he ended up on the ground, on his face, blinded by the light that surrounded him. And he said he saw Jesus, and he also heard the voice of God speaking, and we have it recorded in the Bible, what God said to him. The Spirit spoke to Paul after he got saved and so on. And he actually told him, you can't go there, I want you to go there. So he was going to go to Asia and Bithynia, I think. And God said, no, I don't want you to go there. And he says it was the Spirit that spoke to him. So it possibly wasn't a clear, distinct, don't go there. It was possibly just a kind of nudge as he got to the fork in the road, nudge to the right or the left, so he got onto the right road. But then finally, we hear God spoke to him through a dream. And he saw a man from Macedonia say, come over and help us. And he knew that that was God saying, that's where I want you to go. And that opened amazing doors for his ministry where he needed to go for the Lord. And of course, Peter's always different. God spoke to Peter through a zoo that he sent down in a sheet. And he said, I want you to, all the environmentalists, please just block your ears for a moment. I want you to kill these animals and eat them. And Peter said, But I don't eat some of those animals. And the Lord said, well, if you don't, they might eat you. No. He said, that's okay. I've made them clean. And what he was actually, you see, you have to sometimes interpret, what he was actually saying was, I know that you've been taught all your life, don't go to the Gentiles, but I'm telling you now, go to the Gentiles and take them my message. And of course, that opened the gospel up, by the way, for you and I. If he hadn't gone to the Gentiles, we can't be 100% sure that the gospel would have got to us. So God does speak in various ways. I propose to you that God can speak however he wishes and often does so. If you've got it all figured out how God speaks, if you know exactly how God speaks and that's it, then I suggest you're slightly out of tune. Because my discovery has been, and I don't elevate myself above you, but I've met others who would agree with this, that once I figure out exactly how God speaks, he starts speaking in a different way. God doesn't like to be put in a box. Neither do you, by the way. Maybe it's a characteristic of God, so long as we don't get into a rebellious state in that. But God doesn't like to be put in a box. So once you figure it all out, he changes a little bit, uses another method. Actually, it's because he wants you to mature. You know, imagine if after you had your first child, for the rest of its life, you said, goo, 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 ga, 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 ga. Do you want a biggie, biggie, biggie? Yeah, goo, 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 goo. Where would that child be today? They'd probably have left home about 3 years of age. Mom, I'm going. But, you know, they wouldn't have progressed. They wouldn't have grown. They wouldn't have developed. And so God doesn't want to speak to you in the same way all the time. He wants you to be big enough and mature enough to realize that God speaks in many ways and often does so. Thank you. Oh, I appreciated the applause. Thank you. That might be a good time. If you haven't got your phone turned off, this is a great time to do it. So Hebrews 11 says God has spoken to us through his Son. What I think that means is that God has revealed himself. In the Old Testament, he revealed himself as Jehovah God, the God of this, that, and the other. You know, there's a lot of names and titles and things about God. But he revealed himself to the world of the apostles and onwards. He revealed himself through the person of Jesus Christ. So we know God in a very different way than the people before Jesus came to the earth, because he revealed himself in a different way. And he actually said, Jesus said to the disciples and to others, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So the Bible says that Jesus was the express image, which is the mirror image. No blemish. Everything you see in Jesus is God, and God is in Jesus. If you want to know who God is, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hold the horse while I get on. That's how we used to remember those four books. But read those books, and what you see in there is Jesus. And you come to understand him even better. Let me tell you about one of God's busiest weekends in history. I was a young man in Bible college. And, I wasn't. I hadn't got there yet. I've just jumped it. I was working and enjoying life, minding my own business. I had some idea of where I thought God wanted me to go. I have known since I was very young. In fact, I told the Queensland governor of Queensland, Sir Henry Abel Smith, when I was 7 years of age, that I would be a preacher when I grow up. And I've got the newspaper cutting to prove it, and we believe everything that's in the newspaper. But it's true. So I knew, okay? So I'm now into my teen years, and Laureen, close your ears for a moment. I was dating a young lady and dropping her home one night to her home, and I heard And I don't know to how to describe how I heard, but I heard break it off. Now, long story short, we kind of did and we kind of didn't. And so effectively, we disobeyed God. We figured it, we talked ourselves into it that we'd done it, but we hadn't done it and we disobeyed God. And later on, if I had time to tell the story and I don't, you would see that I was an idiot and that I paid for that. So that was, I don't know, 11 o'clock-ish at night. I went off to bed and woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I sat bolt upright in bed and I heard what I believed to be an audible voice. Have you, I don't know if anyone's experienced that, and please don't think I'm big-headed about it. And if you've had that, don't you get big-headed about it. But it's kind of, it's so seemingly real that you can tend to look around to see who's there. But I heard this voice say to me, I want you to go to Bible college. So this is that night, okay, just 3 or 4 hours later. I want you to go to Bible college. So I said, well, Lord, if you want me to go to Bible college, then you need to provide some money. I came from an incredibly poor family, so I had no savings or money. I had a normal job, but it kind of, you know, like jobs are like, they just keep you living. And to add in a residential study program was going to be quite a lot. So I just said, Lord, you'll have to provide the money. Went back to sleep. I wish I could do that these days. Just go back to sleep. So what time was that? 2 o'clock in the morning. It was a Saturday morning. Okay. I went to work on Monday morning. Try and keep the calendar in your mind. I went to work Monday morning. And my boss's wife, they were a Christian family. They didn't know much about where I wanted to go as in my future. Certainly didn't know that God spoke to me, but they loved me and I was their employee and their favorite employee, actually. That's what I believe. She said to me that morning, Monday morning, she said to me, I want to tell you something. My husband wants to tell you, but I can't wait for him. He'll take days to get around to it. When he tells you, you have to act surprised. So I said, okay, what is it? She said, the Lord spoke to my husband and I on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. We got up at 8 o'clock and my husband said to me, that's more like how it went. My husband said to me, so remember, when did I hear from God? On what day? Saturday. Yeah. At 8 o'clock, he says to her, we've got to pay Paul's first year's fees in Bible college. And she says to him, I know God spoke to us. No, that's not quite. He said God spoke to me during the night. That's right. It's a long time ago. And she said, yeah, God's got to pay. Yeah, God said you have to pay Paul's first year's fees in Bible college. He said, oh, I wish you didn't know that. I was hoping to get out of it. She then goes out to her daughter, who lives in a granny flat out the back, who's a very close friend of mine to this day, and said to her, Mari, how much does it cost to go to Bible college? And Mari said, I know why you're asking. You're going to pay Paul's first year's fees in Bible college. Now, you tell me that that's rigged. It just happened. I didn't really mean for you to do that, but that's okay. I did say do it. Oh. It's okay. Yeah. So I went to Bible college. And they actually ended up paying my second year's fees too, by the way. But at the beginning of my second year, I met a young lady who became the love of my life. She became my first wife and is still my wife. You've seen her today and you probably pick a little bit of why I love her. And we just met and I didn't care much, and then down the track I fell in love, and she fell in love at first sight. And one day, I don't know, it was possibly after we were married, I don't even know when, we were talking about how we came to be where we are. And she told me that on a certain weekend, she was in Sydney. She lived in Melbourne. I'm glad I rescued her. I was in Brisbane. Hi, folks. And that's why you got away with that today, boy, because I used to live in Brisbane. So she told me that on a weekend, she'd been at a camp, I think it was, in Sydney. And she was sitting next to a lake and musing over who she would marry. And she had all these thoughts about tall, dark, handsome, intelligent, and all of those things, which, of course, you can see she found. And as she got up to walk away, she heard a voice say, I don't know if you can define the voice and how it was. It was audible, she said. So she heard the voice. Did you tell me the other day that you looked around? Yeah, she actually looked around to see who was talking to her. There was nobody there. And she heard it. That was before the days of Bluetooth things and all that. And she heard a voice say to her, and he'll have a scar on his face. Now, you may not be able to see it from where you are, but back at the time we met, I had a scar. It's here, isn't it? I had a scar like that. Don't worry about the guy, how I got that. Worry about the guy that put it there. I had this very, very distinct scar. Everyone used to ask me, where did you get the scar from? In fact, it's possible that that got me out of trouble once because they had a photo that they were looking for the bloke and it looked very much like me, but he didn't have a scar, so I got out of it. So God spoke to her and said, he'll have a scar on his face. So I'm gathering one of the first things she looked for when she met me and realized I was the man was, does he have a scar on his face? That's a very busy weekend. Oh, sorry, we worked out later on. We sat down and worked out the dates. And it was the very weekend that God said to me, I want you to go to Bible college. And he spoke to all those people and told them that they wanted, and by the way, told me to get rid of that woman. And he said to all those people to pay my fees in Bible college. That's amazing. God was busy that weekend. Usually he has weekends off. He just pops into church. And it's difficult for him because he has to go to a lot of churches on the same day. But that weekend, he was very, very busy. You know, when I finished Bible college, I had three invitations to go to churches. Two of them were in Adelaide. No, one of them was in Adelaide. Oh, it doesn't matter where they were. So I didn't know which to choose. You know, if you're going to be a pastor, it's pretty important that you go to the church you're supposed to be in. You know, if I'm called to be a pastor here, I shouldn't be in the church down the road. This is the one. You know, so you got to find the right church. And I just had no idea. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And from my perspective, God ignored me. He didn't seem to speak. And so I had this very clever idea. Wonder where the idea came from. Very clever idea. Why don't you take these three letters of invitation to your pastor? So I rang my pastor, made an appointment, went over, gave him the three letters. He looked at all three and, figuratively speaking, chucked them all in the bin and said, none of those are suitable to you. And walked out of the room. And I thought, well, thanks very much, Pastor. That was very pastoral of my pastor. I'm now left with no invitations whatsoever. I'm going nowhere. And all I heard was the old, some of you would remember, and this is literally what I heard. Andrew, do you want Paul or not? Okay. And he walked back into the room. And he said, Andrew Evans has been interested in you for some time. Give him 1 month to pray and fast, and he will let you know. I kind of figured that day that the voice of God sounded somewhat like my pastor. Because he spoke, and history has proved that what he said was going to come to pass and was the right plan for my life. And if you know anything about my life story, you can suggest that it may have been a good idea. Maybe, just maybe, the voice of God could sound like your pastor or your religious leader of some kind. When I first arrived in Adelaide, I was lonely, I was miserable, I'd never been away from home before. Even the Bible college that I lived in was only a few kilometres from my home. And so I was struggling. I'd been here massive struggle for 3 days. I've been here for 3 days and I just had this distinct impression. I use those words very carefully, a distinct impression. And the words that I had impressed into my spirit were, commit yourself to Andrew Evans for life. Suddenly I changed. Still lonely. I didn't have any friends or family in Adelaide, and Laureen was still in Brisbane in the Bible college. When I asked her to leave and come to college to Adelaide with me, she said, I was called to Bible college before I met you, Buster. So that was the end of that. We planned for a year later. Well, it just sounds like the voice of God to me. So I still was lonely, but all of a sudden I knew that I was in the right place, because that very distinct impression had spoken to me. When I came to the end of my full-time ministry career, if you like to call it that way, I call myself now a freelance pastor, but when I was pastoring the church in Gawler, which I still attend to this day, I was seeking the Lord, saying, look, it must be getting about time this church got... I retired, and I don't know when I should quit and what I should do with all of that. And one day, I just felt a date come into my heart or something. All I can say, and I'm not trying to be spooky, but all I can say, I'm trying to be practical, is it was like a feather floated down into my spirit. Now, I don't know if you can understand that. Again, I'm not the brightest person in the world, and I couldn't make up this sort of stuff, but it came in so gently, and it was the beginning of August 2020, that the sense was, I'll be gone by that date. And so I then announced, I talked it over with our board of our church, announced it to our church congregation that I would be gone by that date. In fact, that was 2 years, exactly 2 years. And in fact, I was gone within 6 months. They got rid of me. Everything happened quickly, and I was able to move on, leaving the church in other hands. But it was just this sense that God was speaking. Now, as I said, I talked it over with the board. I did fail to talk it over with Laureen until after I told the board and eldership, or she was in the eldership meeting when I told them, and she kind of looked, and somebody said to her, you didn't know that, did you? She said, no. It was unusual for me, but I hadn't talked to anybody. But I did talk it over with them to confirm that it was right. But it was just that just sense that was right. You see, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. See, I come back to the biography that God's written for your life, and it would be sad if you got to read it beforehand, because you wouldn't be walking in faith. But I come back to that concept. God will direct your paths. He already has worked out what's the best way for you to go. I came here today. I walked from up the road to here, and I wasn't 100% sure which was the quickest way to go, and I didn't want to still be trying to get here when it was time to preach. And so I used the GPS, and it told me this is the best way to go. And so every time I came to a corner where I needed to turn, it would speak out in a very loud voice, and everybody would look and say, turn left into whatever. And then it told me, you have arrived at your destination. So I think God's a little bit like a GPS system. I call mine Bertha in my car, because then I can tell her off. I don't know any Berthas, so I can tell her off when she gets it wrong. But God is a GPS, and I think he tries to direct us on the best way to go. Look, this is a small town. I said to Lorraine yesterday, how can you get lost in Strathalbyn? You sooner or later, after you've walked up and down every street in town, you've got to find the place you're supposed to be. So it's not that hard. But sometimes we don't know exactly where to go, or we need to get the shortest direction or the right way. And I think God is like a GPS, in that he will give you the best way to get to where you're supposed to be going. Now, you might say, well, what if I get it wrong? Well, in the olden days, I don't think they tend to do it so much now, but the GPSs used to say, recalculating, 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 and would be looking, while they're saying recalculating, they would be looking for the next best way to get you to your destination because you've gone off the track and they want to get you back on. And I think there are times when God speaks to us yet again and says, whoops, recalculating, 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 and helps us to refine the route on which we're supposed to be walking. Because if we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. Another verse says that God will actually, it says, the footsteps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All you've got to do is be a good man. A good man is one who follows God. So all you've got to, ladies, there's another verse that says the footsteps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. So it's not really another verse. You're all welcome. And so God, you know, either God actually, you know how you see footsteps on the road that they've stuck on the ground to tell you where to walk, to go somewhere. You know, if you want to, I saw a thing up the road here and it said gelato, and arrows telling you where to walk, you know. And I think that there's a degree to which that scripture is saying that God actually shows you where to put your feet. But I think there's perhaps another interpretation as well, and that God actually picks up your foot and puts it where it's supposed to be, if you are willing to let him do that for you. And so he will speak to you in so many different ways to guide you. And it's not just where should I go, should I be a pastor or not, but it's decisions you have to make in your life. Some decisions, should you put the kettle on or not, you know, just get on with life a little bit, will you? But there are some decisions like who you should marry, what home you should live in, what career you should pursue, and other things like that that are big decisions. And there's some that are not quite as big as that, that we really need the wisdom of God. We need the recalculating to make sure that we're walking in the right way. And that happens by the way God speaks to us through various means. By the way, the most prominent way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. 80% of God's voice to you comes out of this book. 80%. So if you're not reading this book, you are negating the potential of 80% of the voice of God to your life. I just read Tim Allen, the actor, out of Home Improvement and Christmas, Santa Christmas or whatever it's called. He has just started reading the Bible. And he said, he said, I've got rid of some of the prophets now. He meant he's read them. And he said, I am amazed at the wisdom that is in this book. Now, I don't know whether he's actually given his life to Christ, but he sounds to me like he's on his way. Perhaps there's been a bit of recalculating getting done. But he's finding the wisdom of God in this book. And he's only in the Old Testament yet. Imagine what he's going to do when he gets to the New Testament. But God will speak to you through the book, the Bible, as well. One of the incredible stories in the Bible of God speaking is a story of the servant of Abraham, Eliezer. When Eliezer got told by Abraham, go find a wife for Isaac. And so he goes off and he's wondering, how in the world do I find a wife for Isaac? And the boss had given him strict instructions on the kind of woman it had to be. And he's struggling to know, how in the world does he do that? And he comes across a well, and he sees all these people coming towards the well, and he says to God, God, I'm looking for a wife for Isaac, and I want you to lead me to the right woman. And he said this, I won't get it exactly as Scripture says it, but he said something like, when I come up and say, up to the well, with all my camels and say, could you please give me a drink? Let the wife that is meant for Isaac say, I will not only give you a drink, but I will also give a drink to all of your camels. Now, camels are not nice animals and they take a lot of water. And this lady is saying that she's prepared to water all of those camels. That's the prayer that he's praying. And he walks up to the well and he says to a lady, can you please give me a drink? She says, sure, and I'll do all your camels as well. And the Bible says that all happened while he was making the prayer. So that's an amazing story about God speaking through circumstances. But you know, years ago, God spoke to me through that story. I was wondering about what I was supposed to be doing, and the Lord spoke to me incredibly clearly and showed me that I was to be to the church that I was pastoring in at the time under Andrew Evans. I was to be to that church what Eliezer was to Abraham and to Isaac and finding the bride, and I was to be helping the church to find Jesus. And then it took me another step, which I won't go into later on, that was an incredible revelation to me out of that story. It was God speaking to me through that story. Maybe not this sermon, but you can also hear God speak to you through sermons. I hope you can on this one, but God can speak to you through a sermon. That's why it's important. You know, church is meant to be, Christianity is meant to be lived in community, not isolation. So that's why church is very important. The Bible teaches about being part of fellowship. And so much of what's in the Bible, in the New Testament, about what we now call church, so much of it is in the plural. It's not in the singular. It's not, when God says, I bless you in the New Testament, it's not just you, it's us. He blesses us as a community. So a sermon is very important because, you know, you would hope that your pastor has prayed and thought about what he's going to preach on Sunday, and that when he comes to minister that becomes God's voice to you. Now, not every sermon will be God's voice to you necessarily, but it's possible, as I said in jest earlier, I've been known to drop a good gem every now and again, and it's possible that you could be there on the Sunday when it's dropped. But a pastor spends a lot of time in prayer, in preparation, keeping their own spirit right, and also preparing for a sermon. So it's possible God's going to use a sermon to speak to you. So I was running a massive conference once, thousands of people attending, and I was exhausted. I could hardly move. I was so tired. And I went to pick up one of the speaker's wives, the speaker and his wife, and as she got into the car, she started preaching at me. I never met the woman in my life before. And she starts telling me about the servants in the turning of the water into wine and how they had no idea what was going on. They just did as they were told. They poured the water into the bottles and then they poured it back out and it was wine, and they served it to the people, and everybody's saying, wow, this is fantastic wine, this is fantastic wine. And she pointed me to the scriptures where it says nobody at the wedding feast at Cana knew where the wine had come from. But then in numbers of the versions of the scriptures, it has in brackets, but the servants knew. But the servants knew. And she said to me, you know, you are like one of those servants. You've done all this work to run this massive conference and you're exhausted. People are now going around because of the ministry that happened at the conference. People are going around saying, what a great ministry, what great ministry. I've learned this, I've experienced that. God spoke to me, God touched me, God. You know, and they're going around there. And she said to me, that's indirect praise and thanks to you. Because even though they don't know, it's like Laureen thanked. She had no, you know, prepared communion this morning. She has no idea who prepared communion this morning, but she said, I want to thank whoever did it. And so when, and that's indirect in the sense that she doesn't know specifically who did it, but this was the same thing, that nobody knew who prepared the wine for the wedding. Nobody knew necessarily who had done all the organization for the conference, but they enjoyed what they drank at the conference, figuratively speaking. That thought, but the servants knew, just rang in my head. And I remember back in those days, we used to sit on the platform. And I remember sitting on the platform in the old Apollo Stadium, if anyone remembers that in Adelaide. I'm sitting up there, and the way conference went in those days, you remember Peter Vacca, do you? Who remembers Peter Vacca? You do. Yeah. Oh, a few of you. Well, Peter Vacca and my boss, Andrew Evans, would work together. Well, they would sit together at a meal table and have lunch, and me and Charles Schwab, his associate, Peter's associate, we would actually do all the organization, and then they would say, we've arranged a conference, you see. So that's how it works with the bosses. And so the guest speaker gets up and he says, I want to thank everybody for being here, but I really want to thank Andrew and Peter for the incredible job of putting on this conference. And he went on and on and on, and I'm sitting there thinking, you stinker, I'm actually nearly asleep, and Charles Schwab was asleep on the stage. We were exhausted. And I'm thinking, you stinker. They did nothing. Now, I knew that both men were humble, and one of them will get up and say, look, it wasn't us, it was Paul and Charles. But for some reason, they didn't. And thank God, I don't remember which one got up next and didn't say it. I'm just so pleased I don't remember. But there I'm sitting thinking, how dare you take all the glory when Charles and I can hardly stay awake. We can't pick our feet up off the ground. How dare you? And suddenly that scripture came back into my mind. But the servants knew. And all of that anger drained out of me. And I thought, you know and we know who did this. And that's what counts. So God's got millions of ways to speak to you. And just in closing, because you're all wondering when it'll ever happen. How do you know and how do you get to hear God's voice? I can't go into it all today, but let me just give you some quick thoughts. Number one, get to know God's word. Because the voice of God will never contradict Scripture. Never. Can you imagine the sense of somebody standing outside a bank, mask on, gun ready, and saying, "Dear Lord, if you don't want me to rob this bank today, please send a police car around the corner now." God doesn't need to tell you not to rob the bank because the Bible already told you that. Bible says in the Old Testament, do not rob the bank. Or some very similar words. So you don't need God to tell you that. But if he does say, go ahead, you know, oh, the police car didn't come, so it must be okay with God. Let me tell you, that is a direct contradiction to Scripture, so it's just not God. Yep. So he will never contradict Scripture. You need to try to listen to God regularly. Talk to him and listen to him. Read the Bible, listen for his voice. One day you'll hear it and you'll think, oh, is that what it sounds like? And you've learnt a lesson then. I remember very quickly years ago when my wife was in hospital having her first baby. I was her first baby. It was mine too. But I was at home having breakfast, getting ready to go to work. And the phone rang. And this lady said, "Hello, how are you?" And I said, "Very well, thank you." And she talked and talked and I talked and talked. And then thought, this is just getting a bit too personal. And then the lady said to me, "So what are you doing at the moment?" And I said, "Well, if you weren't talking to me, I'd be having breakfast." And she said to me, so rude, she said to me, "You have no idea who this is, do you?" And I said, "I have absolutely no idea who you are." And she said, "It's Lorraine." You see, back in those days, the old dial phones, they kind of changed your voice a little bit. And we didn't have phones we're talking on all the time. They are stuck to the wall. And if you're going on the bus, you can't exactly take it with you. So you can't talk on the bus to somebody. So we didn't ring up, "Oh, I'm on my way now. Oh, can you get the milk? Oh, can you..." So I almost never heard Laureen's voice on the phone. And if you could hear it, you're paying for it, by the way. You know, so I didn't recognize her voice. She couldn't try that on me now. Because I've heard her voice so much that I could recognize it in the dark a mile away. If she was speaking loudly. I just know her voice. You're going to put that to the test now, aren't you? Oh, I duck. So it's the same. It's the same with God in this sense that if you learn to talk with him and listen to him, over a period of time you get to know, is that God speaking? And thirdly, when you do think God's spoken to you, don't go running off, God spoke. Go and check it out with one or two people who you trust. People who you know have heard the voice of God. People you know who follow God. Go and check it out. Who do they think they are? Well, if you want to get off the page of the book, go ahead. But if you want to walk the life that God's got for you, check it out with people you can trust and let them help you with the decision making, which is what I did with my pastor. And by the way, ended up in the right spot. I was worked in that church for 31 years. We saw so many miracles, so many good things. Our lives were so enriched. 25,000 people gave their lives to Jesus in that 31 years we were in that church. Let me tell you, it was God's place for us. But I checked it out with the pastor, and he was the one that led me and guided me in God's place. So remember this, in these final days, God has spoken to us through his Son. So Jesus is the benchmark. If it's not like Jesus, it's not God. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just want to thank you that today we've been able to be in your presence, in this place where you have allowed us to be today, to be in community with brothers and sisters. I pray that you'll take what we've spoken today and may it impress people in their hearts and souls. And I know that I haven't covered the topic because the topic's almost as big as you are, Lord. So I just pray that you will help people to get a grasp of the fact that you want to speak to them. You want to guide them. You want them to speak back to you, and you want to give them wisdom and express your love and tell them how you feel about them. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help every one of us to open our hearts to the point where we understand when you're speaking and what you're saying. Lord, I pray that our lives will be directed by you because we submit to hearing your voice. Help us to find people who we can check things out with to be sure that we're going in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome, thank you. Thank you, that was awesome. And really leads into our session on team building as well afterwards as well. We have a lot of food out there. We believe that today in this place, we are going to solve world hunger.